Last week, we had an awesome service. Amen?
Amen?
We had an awesome communion. Amen?
Amen?
People's lives were touched. People's lives were changed. Amen?
Amen?
And it carried on into the week, and people were brought to life in Jesus Christ. And that's a reality that all of us can hold on to. It's true, it's real, it can't be taken away. And that has to continue. We were speaking today in our Bible study about what is to be our primary function in life. Okay? I don't know if the folks in the study got that, but what is the first thing that we are supposed to do, people who were in the study? No. Seek His kingdom. First, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Okay, isn't that what He says? First, seek His kingdom and His righteousness. If you can do that, that includes loving God. But it's so much bigger. It's so much more. I didn't mean to shut you down there, Brother Bob, because that's the Sunday school answer. We all look at. That's the Jesus. Okay? That's the Jesus. But we need to know, and you know, I say that, and we're on video, and it's going out to the millions, and people are looking at it, and they're saying, well, what's wrong with that? Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But there's so much more. So much more. And we're a part of that. God has called us to something. I've had people say to me, Pastor, how can you top what happened last week? I don't worry about topping it. I look like coming alongside it. I mean, that's what I do with Jesus every day. I can't top Him. I just come alongside. Amen? And He raises everything up. He makes this stuff happen. He makes people accept the Word of God into their lives. That's His reality. Ours is just to come alongside and be available. Is that true? Open your Bibles to the book of Mark. Open your Bibles to the book of Mark. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 16. I'm only going to read two short verses, okay? And if you look at verse 15, I'm going to actually go back and grab that when we're done there. But that's where it starts. But from verse 16, it says, as He was going along by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew and their brother of Simeon casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow Me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed Him. Why did they follow Him? Why did they get up? Because Jesus said from verse 15, and this is the truth we are now walking in, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Amen. And the gospel hadn't even come true at that time yet, because Jesus had not suffered and died. But He was there. The repentance of God was right there in Christ Jesus. So the kingdom was at hand. It was on the apex of happening. We have received it, and God has called to each and every one of us. Turn in your Bibles to the second chapter. It's just a page over if your Bible is like mine. And we're going to begin in verse 13. And He went out again by the seashore, and all the people were coming to Him as He was teaching them. As He passed by, He saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax booth. And He said to him, follow Me. And he got up and followed Him. When Jesus calls, what is our response supposed to be? Go. I think that's one of our mantras, isn't it? Isn't there something on our bulletin that says that? When you and I come to that place of understanding that where we are today, when we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it affects us, after Sunday, each and every one of us came up here. There were three stations to the cross, right? Three stations to the communion. The first was on that side, and the cross was turned around. You were on the backside of the cross, which meant you needed to receive the cross. Then you came to this side and you received the cross, and then you turned here, and what was here? The empty tomb. There was nobody in it. There's nobody in it today, unless they're holding church there right now. But those people are alive, and so too is Jesus Christ. So we have heard Him call us. And what's our response? Are we going to come and follow Him? Are we going to do as He has asked us to do? Are we going to do what Whitey just showed us? That it's the end of the beginning and there's so much more yet to follow. And sometimes people need to hear it more than once. Do you know what the average number of times a person has to literally hear the gospel? Not just hearing it, but that means receiving it. How many times is the average number of times that a person needs to truly hear the gospel to respond? 7. That may sound strange because, yeah, that's a number of perfection, and, you know, those Christians, they just make the numbers. No, that is a true study by the Barna Group that a person literally has to hear it. They need to receive it 7 times before they will walk into salvation. So let me tell you all once again what the gospel is. Whitey just shared it with us a whole bunch of times from up front here. That He was born of the Virgin. That He suffered under Pontius Pilate. That He was dead, crucified, and buried. And on the 3rd day He rose again from the dead. And now He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, where He shall come to judge the living and the dead. You and I know that as what? The Apostles' Creed. Because it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died for you and I, and that He has brought us back into relationship with the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. 3 in 1, our triune God. And He calls us to come. Why? Because He calls us to love God. That's the first thing He does. You do know that, right? Brother Bobby said it, okay? Seek out His kingdom and His righteousness. The first thing He does when we find His kingdom is He teaches us to love Him. And then He teaches us to find others like-minded. Oh, what's that? Love others? And then the next thing we do is go. You and I, we just saw that wonderful video there. Jesus came. He died. He rose. He went away. Over, right? Ah, wrong chicken. He died. He rose. Now He is awaiting the wedding banquet. And are we preparing the bride? You know, guys, this is the only time in life that we're going to get to realize what it's like being a woman and getting ready for something. You know, and ladies, I'm telling you, I just think it's funny because, you know, we guys, we complain when it takes you 3 hours to get ready on a night we want to go out. Well, this bride's been getting ready for 2,000 years. Do you think she's about ready? I think that last curl may be just about done. The eyelashes may need a little bit more crimping here. Some of you ladies are laughing. But the awesome thing is, we have a mission. We have a purpose. Jesus came. He did it first to show us the way to make it happen. We need to die to our own lives. How do I know that? Pastor, now wait a second. You know, this is something that we need to understand. Jesus Christ died to this life. We need to do the same thing. We need to die to this life. He says, I've already done it. You can do it too. How can we do it? Because He has already overcome the world. He gives us the strength to do everything that we need to do. But we have to come to that place where we're willing to let go of the stuff here on this earth. Gee, I think we were talking about that today in discipleship. Do you see why I love what's going on in this church? I don't have to do anything except listen, and God prepares everything. You folks need to get into discipleship. You want to be trained up? That's where you get trained up. What you get here, this is the after mint. Okay? How many of you go out to dinner and you love it when they serve those little Andes with your check, right? They give you the check and you get those little Andes mints. That's what the sermon is. That's an Andes mint after the main course has been delivered up in discipleship. That's a shameless plug. But I'm going to keep giving them until you folks finally get it right. Because we all need to get involved in discipleship. Whether it's on Sunday mornings or it's our Bible studies, the women's study, the men's study, the bi-weekly Bible study that we have, and you people out there, you need to get into the Word yourselves. You need to get caught up in a Bible study. I mean, start it with your neighbor. I don't care. Get into the Word. Seek God out. Because as we seek God out, He says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, when you seek for me with all your heart. And in that seeking, He changes us from death to life. And then He gives us the ability to go out and help change others. Because there are so many people in this world looking for what's going to fulfill them, looking for that which is going to make them happy, looking for that which is going to give them meaning and purpose to life. And I hate to tell you this, it's not a car, it's not a house, it's not a wife, it's not children. All those things are going to bring more problems. There will be joys in them. I heard an amen over here. There will be joys in them because the Scripture does tell us that our children are a blessing unto us. And I know I want to bless my son many times, both goodly and poorly. And we all know that because we're parents. We're frustrated because we have children who are born of the flesh. Amen? Just as we are. And it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a trial. It's going to be a test. You know, I think it's funny. When you all went through school, how many of you love tests? Yeah, don't like tests? Life is a test. Suck it up, cupcake. Because the reward is in the end. There is one reward for all peoples. It's called death. We all check out of here once. And then the reward. Whether it's death unto eternity in heaven or death unto eternity in damnation. That's your reward. Which do you want? Which direction do you want to go? How do you want to, pardon the pun, hedge your bet? You know, there's a lot of people in this world that's what they do in life. They hedge everything. That's why they call them hedge funds, right? We stack things up in the hope that this thing's going to pay out. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there's only one payout, and that is Jesus Christ. He came to earth. He died. He is God. He proved it in His miracles. He proved it in His resurrection. And how many people saw Him? In a court of law, it can be proven from the history records that this thing actually happened. And yet, our world denies it. We have a choice to make. Has He called your name on Sunday, this past Sunday? Were you affected? Did God touch you? Did God move you? Because if He did, if you took that communion serious, you have been called. He has spoken your name, and He says, come, follow me. But now, in following Him, He's got a little bit of advice that He would like to give us. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. And that will be Matthew 28. Mark. I'm skipping ahead here. Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter, boy, I'm in the wrong book again, Marion. Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Beginning in verse 31. Yeah, we're going to end where we began in Matthew 28, all right? But we're going here to Mark 8. Mark 8, beginning in the 31st verse. Now, I'm grabbing this because I need to go back and talk about it here in just a moment. He says, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." What is that? The gospel. You just heard it again. "And he was stating the matter plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him." How many of us think we get to tell God what to do? How many of us live our lives, even now, where there's something going on in our lives, and we want to tell God what to do? We want to say, "Okay, Lord, that's fine, but..." Or, "Well, you don't understand, God. You see, it's like this." He's been around for 6,000 of our years and even before that unto eternity. Do you think he's heard all the excuses? There's nothing new you're going to tell him. He knows us. He knows us. He knows us. He created us. Okay? So here's the word of God to you who think you got the answers. "Get behind me, Satan! For you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." It's the same thing. He speaks to us over and over and over again because he knows that we're stuck in this flesh. We're stuck in this sin. Amen? But he died to set us free from that sin. And he's called each and every one of us by name. "And he summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" My pages are sticking. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Blessed be the word of the Lord. We need to die to ourselves. We need to die to the things of this world. Just as Jesus died on the cross to the sin of this world, for the sin of this world, we too now need to die to the things of this world. All the trappings that hold us in. Okay? I think it's funny because when I was a kid, and you're all gonna love this because you all did it, and you're all guilty, and verdict is come in. All right? Your parents would give you a piece of paper and say, "Why don't you make a list for Santa Claus?" And we'd look at them and say, "More paper, please." I mean, how many of us had those Santa Claus lists that went on and on and on and on and on and on? Because we want, right? We want. And that's what we've done with our lives because that's what we were taught to do. We were taught to long for things. You know, my parents always said, "Well, I want you kids to have it so much better than me." I think to myself, I think we'd be a better off place if I had less than my parents because I would appreciate what I have more. Because there are some times when less is more. Because the more you have, the more you have to be responsible with. Amen? And how are we doing with that? You know, it just seems like the more vehicles I have, the more they cost me. It seems like the more property stuff I have, the more I have to maintain. The more I have, the more I chase after it. The less stuff I have of this world, the less I have to take care of, the less I have to follow after. But the more I have of Jesus, the more of Him I'm willing to give away. And that's eternal. That's forever. Because that changes lives. That's why I love being a pastor. Because I can give you everything. Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but what I have I give to you freely. Get up and walk. And the lame man laid there and said, what? No, he got up and walked. And you and I need to remember that when we truly believe that, if we will get rid of the stuff of this world and walk in the power and strength of Jesus Christ, we will see that power revealed in our lives. It's becoming one. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That little word all, what does it mean? Everything. Everything you need. God is not going to give you $1 million. He knows you can't handle it. He knows I can't handle it. The first thing I would do is become bankrupt. You and I can never be bankrupt of the love of God because it's unending. There is no end to it. We can't spend it all. We can't use it up because the more of God's love we use, that means we're doing the work of the kingdom. That means we're out there sharing the gospel. That means we're seeing lives changed. Do you know the more of it you use, the more of it God pours out into your life so that you can give it away some more? Because He wants you to give it away. Because the more of it you give away, the more of Him there is out there, and the more hope there is in the world, the more compassion there is in the world, the more of Christ there is in the world and in people's lives. He came to change the world, to save the world. And how does He do that? He's in heaven. He does that through His people. That we give Him away. We share the gospel that we've received. What is the gospel? That He was born of the Virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was dead, crucified, and buried. On the third day He rose again, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. How many times did you hear it today? Do you believe it? Will you receive it? Because if you receive it, there's one final command. He says, love God, love others. And Matthew 28:19. In fact, we're going to go to 18b. From 18b, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, how do you chase after what happened last Sunday? By coming alongside of it and seeing how God brings the increase. It's right here in front of us. I don't get to make this stuff up. I want you all to talk to Mitch. Pastor didn't just put those flowers on there to make this Sunday sermon look good. God makes things happen, and Pastor walks alongside. And God makes me look good because He's that much better. Remember that. If you see a glimmer of something in me that you like because, you know, oh man, that guy, he's got something going. Remember where I got it, because it didn't come from me. It came from Him. And the same things He has for each and every one of you and from you unto the world. Can you do this? Yes. God will use anyone available to Him because He loves you and wants you to succeed. He wants to give you all hope that you may give it away and get more. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it affords. This Sunday, I challenge each and every one of you to find your carnations. Next Sunday, I expect to be out of carnations in the back, as each of you share the truth of Jesus Christ this week. If you came out of the resurrection, you have to share it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're truly not part of the resurrection until you share the resurrection. Because the good things we experience in life, how many of us keep those things to ourselves? None of us. We have big mouths. And God wants us to use them. Amen? Would you rise with me in prayer this day? Precious God, Lord, our Father, we bring all our praise, glory, and honor to you. For you have set us free from life in this world, which is truly death, and you have given us life in eternity, that we can live that here now in the kingdom that you have established. So, Lord, as we give ourselves to you and we hear the command to come, we also know that in that coming, we are to learn to love God, learn to love others, and go with the message of that same love. The kingdom is here. The gospel is true. Jesus is the Christ, the truth, the way, the life. For it is unto you, Lord Jesus, we give ourselves in all glory unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.